speaking today with Wendell Robbins, who is running for HCC trustee in District 9. Wendell, first question I'd like to ask, why are you running for this office?
When I went back to school to get my doctorate some years ago and finished school, I was telling you earlier, I own a construction company. One of the issues that I see around the city is, or I see in my district rather, is that the kids that live in our district don't have the skills required to function in society, especially in the construction industry. Obviously, that's what I have my on-the-ground vision and training in. And so when we go out to hire these kids and we bring them in, it's basically almost like we have to train them from the ground up. I think that HCC offers the ability to not only train kids for their first 2 years of college, you know, their associate's degrees or your, they call them the basics, you know, those first 60 hours that you have to take no matter where you go to school. That's across the board and that's common knowledge. But HCC also offers vocational education. And in our district, I think that that's very important because if you look at the statistics of the student that graduates in District 9 from Worthing, from Sterling, from Madison, and for a large part from Westbury, those kids aren't necessarily kids that go off to college, but they still need to be able to make a decent living wage and take care of their families. And so I think that HCC is in a position to offer them a vocational education such that they'll be able to take care of their families and make a good wage. I mean, you know, the jobs that you see in construction, we're in the middle of a drought right now. So at one of the forums I spoke at, a lot of the people commented, you know, they've spent $100, $150, $200 each on having leaks fixed in their yards because of the drought. Those companies that they hired came from Clear Lake. They came from Jersey Village. They came from, you know, different parts of town, but none of them had an experience with the company that actually was based in their district or with the employees from the company that were from the district. And so those little simple things seem simple, but, you know, if you think about a plumber making $40,000 or $50,000 a year, if he lives in the district, then that means that his $40,000 or $50,000 circulates within the district. Likewise with electricians and concrete masons and carpenters and so on and so forth.
So, all right, what's your background with HCC itself? What's your experience with HCC?
We've done a few contracts with HCC over the years. My wife got her associate's degree at HCC before she went on to U of H to get her bachelor's. My daughter took a couple of courses at HCC over the summer. And I think that also opened my eyes to the fact that some of the basic courses are not even offered, or the basic courses are not even offered at the HCC campus in District 9. Our district has 180,000 residents, and we have one campus that sits, Willie Lee Gay Hall, sits on Airport and 288, serves about 300 students a semester, I'm told, which is roughly 1,000 a year. And so when my daughter needed to take English and economics, which are basic courses for anyone under their first 60 hours, she had to go all the way to Stafford. When you have a 16-year-old girl driving to Stafford every evening, that kind of, as a dad, makes your heart beat because from the time she leaves until the time she gets home, you're wondering what can happen. I can't get there in 5-10 minutes like I could if there were a campus in Westbury or in Hiram Clark or somewhere closer to us. So.
Okay. Kind of at a high level, what's your assessment of how HCC is doing right now? How it's doing its job, what you think its mission is and should be? You know, what's your overview of it?
I think right now the district or the system is doing a good job as far as educating students. It's just that my issue is there's not, in my opinion, a voice that speaks for District 9 at the table. So in the east side of town, in the southeast, in the north side of town, they're doing a great job building new facilities and instituting new programs to help the students out there advance. My issue is, in District 9, there's not a voice at the table. There doesn't seem to be a voice at the table that says, hey, we need to do something for these students over here.
Now you referenced there was the Willie Gay campus on the Sedgeway. Is that, you know, that is the only campus in the district?
That is the only campus in the district.
You know, what's your vision of what should be?
Well, that campus is about 2 acres, roughly.
It's new construction, is it not?
It's less than 10 years old, yes. But HCC owns 100 acres at that location. So, you know, we see, as a contractor, we see bids come out quite often. And they just did a renovation for $3.5 million for a fine arts building at the Stafford campus. I have nothing wrong with fine arts. My daughter is a budding artist. But in my mind, you can't walk out of a certificate program with a fine arts certificate in dance or drama or theater and get a job making decent money. That $3.5 million, in my opinion, could have been better allocated towards programs such that when students walk out of that certificate program, they can get a job. And that's my main issue. That's my impetus for being in the race.
Okay. And do you see HCC's mission as primarily getting people to get associate's degrees or other college credit or vocational training or you know, both equally?
I think that it should be an equal split. You know, I think that a certain segment of the population is not what they call college material. I mean, for lack of a better way to say it. Some people are just not going to go to college. But that doesn't mean that they're not equally valuable to the workforce. You know, I think if you look across the board, the middle class pushes our economy. They drive our economy. And so the wages that I'm talking about that HCC can prepare students for as far as their vocational education are middle class jobs. You know, I'm not saying that you graduate from an HCC certificate program and all of a sudden, you know, you'll make 200 grand a year. That's not necessarily feasible. But I do think that making $35,000 to $40,000 a year is definitely feasible within a couple of years of your certificate program at HCC. And I say certificate program meaning vocational education.
Okay. Now, you're in the construction business, and HCC obviously does a lot of construction. There have been issues lately with the way HCC, some trustees, have conducted their business with some of the firms that do business with HCC. No big contracts, dealing with the firms that have family members, or in some case, the trustee themselves. What's your view as a contractor, essentially, of how HCC conducts its business with firms like yours?
I think HCC and school boards, school districts, universities across the board, they hire a staff. They have a staff that is facilities and planning or whatever the department is called. And their job is to vet each construction contract. So they have bids that come in. They evaluate the bids or the proposals or the RFPs or whatever they want to call them. And then they pick a firm. That should be based upon the price and the best value to the university. I don't think that politics should come into the selection process. And I think that too often what we're seeing nowadays is that politics comes into it. And so, you know, this guy was friends with this board member, so he should get or she should get a larger piece of the pie than this other company over here because they didn't make a donation or they're not friends with the right people. I don't think that who you're friends with, who you associate with, whose campaign you donated to should matter so much in deciding contracts. I think that that's the purpose of having a good staff to do those evaluations. And the board's job is just basically to make sure that the staff did what they're supposed to do and vote on it.
Now, do you believe that the rules and, I guess, regulations that HCC has set up for itself are sufficient to ensure that we don't have these kinds of conflicts of interest, or do you believe that they need to be strengthened either by the board or perhaps by the legislature?
When you say rules, you mean the transparency of the relationships between board members and contractors?
Well, and also in situations where someone gets caught, as has been recently the case, are the remedies that are available to deal with that situation?
I think what you're talking about is that basically the only ramification is that you get a censure from the board, and basically, and that's it.
Right.
It's a tough question because, on the one hand, yeah, you want to say, if you get caught with your hand in the cookie jar, you need to get it slapped. But on the other hand, how complicated is the process in order to weed through what was actually done that's wrong and what was done that was right, and how do you weigh those two against each other. Certainly there needs to be more of a, the board needs to be stronger, the board needs to have more ability to govern its own, but I think that certainly the state legislature needs to step in and say, you know, look, if you were in this position and you did the same thing, this would be your penalty, because you're just on a school board and it's an unpaid position, essentially volunteer position, you know, the penalties are pretty minimal. I don't think that that necessarily is fair, and I guess that's what you're asking, because you're still responsible for taxpayer dollars. And so if you misallocate those funds based upon some personal relationship, certainly there needs to be some sort of penalty for that.
Yeah, I mean, do you see, you know, knowing what you know now about HCC's ethics rules, its disclosure requirements, so on and so forth, do you see a scenario where you would have a problem complying or not complying because maybe you didn't know something?
No.
You don't see any. You don't think the rules themselves are confusing or unclear?
They don't seem to be. If you have a relationship with someone, you need to let the board know. You need to recuse yourself from votes. You need to make sure that general counsel is kept informed of your ongoing relationships. I mean, these things they're borderline common sense. So, you know, it's you know, I could give you personal examples of how that would get you in trouble at home, you know, but it's not, I mean, it's like common sense. Yeah.
Okay. Beyond that, do you think that the HCC board conducts its business in a sufficiently open manner? Do you think that the average person, the average citizen who wants to know what's going on with HCC, can find out without too much difficulty?
No, I've read your blog. No.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute, but beyond that, you know, just in a general manner.
No, because I've tried to do a little bit of research, or not a little bit, I've tried to find out quite a bit of information, both on the university and obviously on the other person running in this race, and it's very... The process in doing that is very tedious, and so no, absolutely, there needs to be more transparency. And I think that when you get to that point, when there is more transparency, then you'll have a little less graft.
And do you have any specific thoughts in mind for what the board could do to make their business more open to the general population?
I think my issue has been, and I guess everyone's. Pretty much every district is pretty much the same, but you know, everything that you request at HCC apparently has to go through the Open Records Act, and but if you were to go and look for that same stuff at Lone Star or TSU or even U of H, you know, you can find that stuff if you're a good Googler and you know how to work navigate their websites, you can find that on their website. So I think that, just like I said, the transparency, HCC, if you're not doing anything wrong, you don't have anything to hide.
All right.
And that's, I mean, you know, you've heard it since you were a kid. I've heard it since I was a kid.
And just to circle back to what I know you were alluding to, campaign finance reports for trustees and candidates.
Right.
Not currently available on the HCC webpage. You would be in favor of requiring them to be.
Right. I don't have a problem with that at all. No.
Okay. One other issue that has come up before the legislature regarding HCC, a bill that came up recently that didn't go anywhere, would have required an HCC trustee, an elected trustee, who wants to run for another office, to resign as a trustee before he could run for another office. Is that something that you would support or oppose?
I would support that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's logical. I think if you're of the mindset that you are ready to give your attention elsewhere, then the college, the system deserves someone that can give their full-time attention to the system.
Okay. Yeah. Talking about the legislature some more, obviously the recent budget included a significant amount of cuts to community colleges. From your perspective, how has the legislative budget for this year affected or will affect HCC?
there will obviously be some cuts, likely staff cuts, and cuts in programs. And again, you know, when you look at programs, I have to think that programs that are workforce development should be prioritized above programs that are programs. I mean, you know, you have to have your split between what's academic.
Is it going?
Yeah. What's academic and what's workforce development? That's common sense. But there needs to be some sort of a split such that workforce development gets their piece of the pie, academic gets their piece of the pie, and then academic needs to prioritize what's most important on their side of the table.
All right. Do you foresee a need for the board to raise the tax rate? As I understand it, I think a small tax rate increase is in the works. You know, do you agree with that? Do you foresee a need for any more of that?
The trouble with tax rate increases is that they're rarely repealed. They're rarely rolled back once you meet your budget issues. You always find more to spend the money on. You know, so...
Well, I believe if it's a growing concern and the needs are increasing.
Right. But, you know, as the population increases, if the tax rate stays the same and the population increases, then the bottom line number should increase as well. You'd think. Increasing the tax rate just basically, I think that is probably an issue that's related to the population demand on the college system. Do I think that the tax rate increase should be passed? Probably so. If the system has more demands than they're currently able to meet, and no one wants to see folks lose their jobs, then yeah, you have to do that. You have to come up with a way to create more money. If the demand increases, the supply of money has to increase. Otherwise, you have to cut down on programs.
HCC has expanded and attempted to expand its territory recently. They annexed Alief ISD. They failed to do the same with Spring Branch. That was voted down. Do you foresee the need for ACC to continue expanding or perhaps take another shot at annexing Spring Branch?
I think that there needs to be a little more, and this kind of goes back to economic development issues, but I think there needs to be a little more common sense. There needs to be a little more foresight put into, okay, this part of town is expanding. We should think about expanding our territory out there now while the part of town is expanding, right? It doesn't make sense to try to come along after part of town has already hit their population growth ceiling and then try to annex them, because at that point they feel fairly independent. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And with that in mind, specifically, I was thinking of, obviously, the Pearland area. I know that right now, currently, that's part of the Alvin Community College system. I thought that that would have been, if HCC had approached that Pearland area before it hit that huge population growth spurt that it hit in the last 10 years, it would have been a perfect area for the system to take over. Because out there now you have, I would guess, no less than 100,000 to 150,000 folks that have moved out there in the past 10 years that would have been part of the system had they taken advantage of it back when the timing was a little riper.
How would you characterize HCC's relationship with HISD and the other school districts within its territory, and what opportunities do you see to improve that?
I think that the district, and obviously I'm not on the board yet, so I'm not privy to everything, but I think that right now the reputation is that the district works well with the system works well with the other districts. I think, you know, going back to my major issue, HCC formerly had relationships with HISD where we had where we had workforce development programs,
vocational,
right, inside of the high schools. Some of those programs have been cut out. We used to have them out in our district. Some of those have been cut. And so, same with FAA, FFA, F, Yes, FFA. And 4-H, those were cut out in one of the high schools in our district. And in a little town hall community meeting I was at recently, one of the women in the audience talked about that, and she said that she's seen an increase in crime in her community, in her area, since that program was removed from the school. Now, if you think about that, okay, a kid is formerly, you know, he's in some sort of vocational program, he's learning to be a barber, he's learning to be a mechanic or whatever. Now you take that away from him. He also, in his free time, was learning to raise calves or whatever. And you take that away from him. Well, now he's got a lot of energy and nothing to do. and so that's how I think is that's the basis of crime, really. You know, you have a bunch of kids sitting around with nothing to do. And so I think that when you think about vocational education, it also is a way to reduce crime, because it trains children or trains our future for what they'll do with their lives. You know, everyone's not like, you know, everyone's not going to have 5 or 10 different careers in their life, 3 or 4 different careers. Some people will do what they do for the rest of their lives, and they want to get started on it at 18 and retire at a decent age, and, you know, start to make their retirement money and go on with their lives.
Okay. And, you know, what do you see as, you know, what do you see as the main thing that you would like to accomplish in the next few years if you're elected to the board?
I'd like to work with TxDOT and the city of Houston to bring a transportation program to the district. I'd like to have pair that with a mechanic as well as heavy mechanic program right out there on 288. I'd like to have also a vocational education program out there, and I think basically just I'd like to improve the campus and improve the reputation and the vision of HCC in the community. I think that with new faces on the board, that will give the community college more credence in the community. You know, right now, I think I read, I don't remember if it was your blog or someone else's, that Houston Community College is considered to be the most corrupt board in the state of Texas. And
I don't think that was you. It might have been Texas Watchdog.
Oh, yes, that's it, yeah. So, you know, I'd like to change that.
Okay. So why should people vote for you then, since you're running against an incumbent who's running for re-election? Why should people vote for you?
I'm running for the board of trustees in a seat that's currently held by an incumbent.
All right.
Well. And honestly, I think that my campaign, my foundation of my campaign, and my entire background of my life is about helping children reach their highest potential. You know, and like I said, everyone's not going to go to school and be a doctor or a lawyer. And in this community, I think a lot of kids are misled to believe that they will be some sort of athlete or professional performer. That's not necessarily going to be the case in most cases either. But everyone still needs to be able to make a living wage. And so my concern is, I want to make sure that HCC puts itself in a position to train children in District 9 so that they will be able to, when they finish whatever their program is, whether it's cosmetology, auto mechanic, diesel mechanic, electrician, HVAC technician, plumber, whatever, they can walk out of HCC and walk into someone else's building and say, hey, I've got this certificate from HCC. Give me a job. Obviously, if I finished at HCC, I know what I'm doing.
All right. Len Robbins, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.